Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is William Bell. Welcome to Eschatology, All Things Fulfilled. We're looking forward to another study today on the 144,000. Are there only 144,000 who will be saved? And we are discussing the message from Revelation chapter 7 to start off with. And so we want to get right into the lesson today because we do have quite a few things to cover. And we want to make sure that we get those things out before you. Now, as we talk about the 144,000, we are looking at what we would call symbolic language in the book of Revelation. The Bible talks from the beginning of the verse about the signs through which the message was given. John was given a message by the angel that was in symbols and signs because he said, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show to his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Well, the word signify simply means signified. In other words, he demonstrated it by a sign or a symbol. And in so doing, he gave these things in a way that will help to convey the message to his disciples, but at the same time to conceal the message from those, just like Jesus did his parables when he said, it was given to you to know the things concerning the kingdom of God, but to those who had stopped their ears, etc., he said it was not given to them to know. And so these are things that are revealed to God's servants. These are things that pertain to them. Now, the question is, are there only 144,000 who will be saved? Some people are laboring under that. We've had ministers who have taught their congregations for years that this is the case. And I don't just mean those that sometimes are considered those who are cultic from the standpoint of Jehovah's Witnesses, but we're talking about those in Christian churches who have taught people that there are only 144,000 who are going to be saved, and of course the rest are either going to hang out here on earth or they're just going to be destroyed for some reason, whatever the end result of that is. And we want to offer a little bit of consolation and hope to you and comfort from the scriptures to let you know that this is not a teaching that is part of the scriptures, and that's our purpose in presenting the message to you today. Now, on yesterday, we'd gotten to the point of the sealing, and we pointed out the fact that this sealing took place before God was about to unleash the judgment that's stated in the book of Revelation. Because in chapter 6 and verse 16, you'll note that when the sixth seal is open, this is the time that, and we're looking at verse 12, Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12, the text says, I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? So we're talking about the eschatological day, the day of the end time. We're talking about the judgment that is taking place in this message after the sixth seal is opened. So this is just before all things are finished. All things are wrapped up in God's end time program. And therefore, after he saw this picture of judgment, these symbols of judgment, it says in chapter 7 and verse 1, after these things I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, as we stated before, the sealing was a method of authentication. It was a method of preservation. It was a method of stamping the approval of one who was a sovereign on those who were his subjects. And so this is God sealing the 144,000 for their protection. He is also stamping his approval on them as his people, and he is preserving them through the temptations and trials that the church was going to go through. In other words, through the Great Tribulation, which you will see mentioned in the verses to follow. So God is protecting them through this, and this is just prior to the time of the judgment. So before the judgment is unleashed in its full power and wrath of God, they are sealed so that they would be protected. Now, what that tells us is that God is a God who loves his people. God is a God who protects his people. God is a God who will prevent his people from enduring, especially when they obey him and when they follow him, he will prevent them from enduring the kinds of tribulation and trial that others may face. Now, especially those who are his enemies. Now, when we look at a couple of passages, I want to talk about this sealing just a little bit so you can see that in the New Testament times, there was a sealing going on with the church. In Ephesians chapter 1, Verse 13. Now, notice that this sealing was taking place with the church that was present then, but it was also going to be consummated by the time that the inheritance arrived. Now, you have to understand that the time of the arrival of the inheritance also corresponds with the time of the judgment. In other words, God judges, and then they enter into their inheritance. So here are those who are sealed. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 12 that we should, who first trusted in Christ, should be to the praise of his glory. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, in just a moment, I'm going to make an announcement regarding those who may be listening to us from your desktops, as well as those who are who may join us in the chat room later. We want to just let you know that we are here to discuss with you these matters. So if you would like to know more about these events, then we encourage you to give us a call at 646-378-1919. Again, that's 646-378-1919. Or you may you may visit us in the chat room, and we will encourage you to be with us there so that we can converse about some of these matters. Now, we were talking from Ephesians 1, and we're looking at verses 13 and 14, and notice that he says that they were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, that tells you then that the 144,000 were, of course, believers. It tells you that these people were sealed. It also shows you that this sealing was going on within the first century generation, so God was sealing them then. Now, if you note that they were sealed just prior to the time of judgment, then that should tell you that the judgment that's involved with the sealing of the 144,000 has to be, or rather with these in the book of Ephesians, as well as in the book of Revelation, would have to be taking place just prior to the end time. In other words, the end time has to be imminent and upon those who are living within the first century. Because notice, once again, in verse 14, he says, who is the guarantee? Now, that's the Spirit by whom they were sealed. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. At the time that God brings redemption to those who were sealed, and before we leave this book, I want to just go ahead and add chapter 4 and verse 30 into the mix, as they say, so that we'll have them both, and then I'm going to take us to a passage that talks about the time of judgment so that we can see the correlation between Revelation chapter 7 and verses 1 and following, as well as Ephesians in terms of this sealing of the servants. Now, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, and the verse is 30, Ephesians 4 and verse 30, he says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed with or for the day of redemption. You see, the purpose for which they were sealed was for the day of redemption. Now, this is through the power of the Holy Spirit, which was poured out within the first century generation. Remember Joel's prophecy? Joel said, and Peter quotes, on the day of Pentecost, that God would pour out of his Spirit upon all flesh, and that the sun would be turned to darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Well, that great and terrible day of the Lord also corresponds with the day of redemption, because as God was destroying those who rejected him, he was likewise delivering and saving those who were obeying him. If you can recall during the Exodus from Egypt, you'll note that at the very same time where God destroyed Pharaoh, he saved his own people through the very same waters, through the very same flood. And so here we have this dual purpose of the day of redemption stated, but yet the Ephesians were sealed until the day of redemption. They were first century Christians. They were sealed till the day of redemption. But we also see that the 144,000 were sealed in view of the day of redemption. Now, let's get a glimpse of what that day is from Luke, the 21st chapter, Luke chapter 21, and the verse is 31. Luke 21, and the verse is 31. The Bible says, "So likewise you, when you see these things." Now, to whom is he speaking when he says, "So likewise you"? Again, we point out that he has an audience in the first century. He's talking to disciples in the first century generation. He's talking to Peter, Andrew, James, and John. These are the ones that he has given these words to in Luke chapter 21. The same thing is true in Matthew, the 24th chapter, and also in Mark 13, where he talks about the destruction of the world at that time, meaning the end of the age, the destruction of Jerusalem, the delivering of his people from that destruction, from that wrath, and then bringing them into the spiritual inheritance of the kingdom. This is what it's all about. And so in verse 31, he says, "So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near." And then in verse 27 and 28, he links that to the time of the coming of the Lord with power and great glory. He says, "Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." Look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Then he spoke to them a parable and said, "Look at the fig tree." So this is when he goes into the discussion and tells them that when they saw those things, the kingdom of God was near. So here we have the coming of the kingdom. We have the day of redemption, all in this same context. And then he says in verse 32, "Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place." So we have to see that day of redemption leading up to the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70 within the first century generation. We have to see that there would be those who were yet alive when this took place. And so in the book of Revelation, when the 144,000 are sealed, they are sealed during that first century when God has poured out his Spirit. And therefore, he refers to them being sealed just prior to the time of judgment. Now, remember, as we've stated at the beginning of just about every one of these lessons from Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1, also verse 3, that these were things which would shortly come to pass. And the time had drawn near for those things to shortly come to pass. And so it's very, very important that we keep the time statement connected to the events of the book so that we do not take them out of their historical setting and thereby create meanings for them and interpretations that cannot align with the Word of God as far as the timing of the event is concerned. Now, as we continue on in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 4, as we look at the sealing, now notice that these are sealed of all the tribes of Israel. He says of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 were sealed. And of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed. Now, these were sealed out of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And what this tells us is that God had not cast away his people. He had not cast away his people whom he foreknew, because the promise had been made to Abraham that in him all families of the earth would be blessed. And he also promised that Abraham's seed would be blessed. And so we find in the book of Galatians chapter 3, where Paul says, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. The means through which these families would be blessed would be through the Jewish nation. For the scripture says in John chapter 4 and the verses 22, when Jesus has this conversation with the Samaritan woman, he says that salvation is of the Jews. Salvation is of the Jews. And then we have in the book of Romans where God very clearly talks about Israel's future. And when we talk about Israel, we're talking about Israel who became believers of Christ. Because remember in Romans chapter 11, the discussion is spoken concerning those who had been cut off from the natural olive tree. The natural olive tree represents Israel, and therefore those who were of the stock or the root of Abraham, and yet they were cut off, the Bible says, because of unbelief. And the Gentiles were warned not to be high-minded, not to have pride, lest they too would be cut off. But he says, if they remain not in unbelief, they would be grafted in again. And so in this manner, God would save all Israel. If they remained not in unbelief, they would be grafted in again. And then he says in chapter 11 that this is my covenant to them when I take away their sins. He says, for the Lord will come out of Mount Zion and turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant to them when I take away their sins. And so here is God creating a new covenant with Israel and with the house of Judah, bringing back or restoring the 12 tribes. Of course, Judah represented the southern kingdom, and then we have the 10 northern tribes that represented the northern kingdom or Israel, and God reunites them together in Christ, just as Jesus had spoken of in John chapter 10 when he said that he had other sheep who were not of that fold. And so there were others who were on the lost house of the lost sheep of the house of Israel who would be brought back into that fold, thus constituting the 12 tribes of Israel. But that's not where it stopped. The Bible says in verse 9 of Revelation chapter 7, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes with palm branches in their hands. Now, these palm branches that are in their hands bring to mind the Feast of Tabernacles. In other words, it was a Jewish feast that marked the end of the harvest. So what we're talking about is also a resurrection text, because we're talking about the end of the age harvest. That's why you see the resurrection taught in the book of Revelation in chapter 20. And of course, that is just at the end of all things, just prior to the entrance into the new heavens and the new earth. And so we have them with their palm branches in their hands. They're clothed with white robes. But notice in this number, you have the tribes included, because he says, of all nations, tribes. Well, how many tribes were there? There were 12 tribes, and then peoples, and then tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes with palm branches in their hands. So when we look at the 144,000, yes, the 144,000 were sealed from among the 12 tribes of Israel, but then they are included in the number that no man could number in verse 9. So the number in verse 9 is much larger, much wider in terms of it encompassing the 12 tribes as well as others, those who were outside of the house of Israel, outside of even the house of Judah. God reunited the two of them through Christ, and that's what the new covenant is all about. He would make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that he made with their fathers when he brought them out of Egypt, which covenant they broke. But he says, this is my covenant which I will make with them. I will put my laws in their minds, write them into their hearts, and they shall be to me a people, and I will be to them a God. No longer shall they teach every man his neighbor, saying, know the Lord, but every man shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, and their iniquities I will remember no more. God says, I will remember their sins and their iniquities no more. Remember, he said, for the deliverer shall come out of Jacob and or out of Zion, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant to them when I will take away their sins. So what a beautiful message this is, that God is bringing back the house of Israel who had been cut off since 721 B.C. They had been cut off. They were no longer regarded as God's people, no longer a part of his covenant, but God opened up the way to them through the gospel, inviting them back into the fold of Israel. Even in the case of Judah, who had likewise been rebellious to him and who had refused to accept the Lord Jesus Christ in mass, he was accepted by a remnant, but he tells them likewise as they continue, as they refuse to continue or choose not to continue in unbelief, they too would be grafted in again. But not only that, he reaches out even beyond them to those whom Israel called the dogs, to those whom Israel considered to be unworthy of their interaction, those whom they would not even sit down and eat with. He reaches out to them and says, the gospel is to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. The gospel is to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. And so this number, this innumerable company, a number which no man could number, the Bible says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number of all nations, tribes, that would be the 12 tribes, that's the 144,000, then peoples and tongues. That would be everyone outside of that. So what we have here is God having restored all mankind to him. He has now brought them all into one and fulfilled the mystery of God. Remember in Revelation chapter 10 and verse 7, the Bible says, but in the days when the seventh, or at the sounding of the seventh angel, he said, that in that time, he says that this is the time that the mystery of God would be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. This would be the time that the mystery of God is fulfilled, that he has declared to his servants, the prophets. So after the sealing of the 144,000, and not simply the 144,000, but the sealing of all of them, because we noticed in Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul said that the church had been sealed until the day of redemption, we see this unity. And so in Ephesians chapter 3, God is encouraging the church to maintain the unity which is brought in Christ. It is the unity of being together in Christ. It is the unity of the body of Christ. He says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. This is the great mystery. This is the mystery that we find in the book of Revelation, chapter 10 and verse 7. It was the bringing together of the 144,000 from all of the tribes of Israel to be united with the number that no man could number from all nations, tribes, languages, and from the tongues. And therefore, the remnant of God being united with the entire house of Israel, with all of those who are God's children. Well, that's about all the time that we have for today. We want to thank you for tuning in. For those of you who may be listening by archive broadcast, we appreciate that. We're going to get into chapter 14 on tomorrow when we talk about the 144,000 and giving you this message that lets you know that God has extended his mercy and his grace and his love to all men, giving you an opportunity to accept him and to be saved. Join us on tomorrow. Visit us at our blog at www.com. www.allthingsfulfilled.com. Again, that's www.allthingsfulfilled.com. Until that time, I'm William Bell saying have a very pleasant afternoon.